Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Good stuff. Well, come on in, friends. Come on in. Nice to be together today. A lot of people are saying Happy New Year to one another, and that is so appropriate. Happy New Year to you. Nice to be on a good Christian journey with you. We skated a few days ago. That was good. People are sore. People have stories now. But courageous people skating for the first time, younger and older. That's impressive. And thanks for the faithful fans that stood up there and just, scored us all as we skated by you. Yeah, it was so good. Thanks for bringing your kids, too. It was so good to see all the kids out and the youth that were there. So good. Naturally, at this time of year, you know, we were reflecting on all kinds of things as it relates to the last year. Many highlights. I'm not sure what yours would be at Living Waters, but last year we refreshed our logo. Do you remember that? And it was a good journey to get to this idea of some of our, what are our roots as people, as Living Waters? What are our values? What are our imaginations? And I love our logo. I love the vision of living water growing forth out of a verse in John 7 that says, whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And it's nice to not just have a logo, but it's nice to have a purpose in behind that and to be reflecting last year of how there's a beautiful sense of God's work in your life and your interest to be a part of that. So thank you. We look forward to all that God has for us in this coming year. Well, you may have already noticed that at this time of year, we're encouraged from all different kinds of sources to consider what our priorities should be in the new year that's ahead of us. Man, I'm thinking, you're hearing them? They're all over the place. Our doctors will say, you know, more refined sugar and more processed foods. No, the opposite, Luke Knight. The opposite, less refined sugar and processed foods. Minced meat, hey, or minced tarts. I love those too. Our financial planner will say, ma, you need to spend less than you earn. That's a good one. Spend less than you earn. Our physical trainer will say, where have you been in the last few weeks? We're still here. Come find me. We'll do some workouts together. Our family counselor might say, hey, take good care of the people that are your loved ones. A good friend might say, be good to you this coming year. Well, perhaps all this encouragement isn't entirely bad, right? The Bible does talk about numbering our days. And so, hey, we have a chance as we kind of flip a calendar to acknowledge time that's past and time that's in front of us. Maybe you hear where this is going. You're in a church, and a pastor has a microphone. This is a perfect setup for me to say to you, and you can imagine what I will say to you next, is that perhaps to have God as our number one in 2026 will be a really good thing. Right? Predictable, but important, right? That we would have God, that we would make God our number one in 2026. Can we do that? Making God number one. There's no other one. There's just the one. And seeing God just kind of, yeah, take that not just that position, but take that relationship, which is kind of what we want to talk about today, to have a relationship that it's clearly evident that there's just the one, there's the number one. And I want to draw your attention to a passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 2. where Paul here is not kind of getting in front of us a to-do list. We got lots of those. But rather a different kind of list that perhaps would reflect this idea of us having a number one in our lives. So let's read a passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2. It says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Point you immediately to two very simple instructions, and that is to work out what Christ is working in you. Working out what Christ is working in you. As we kind of zoom out for a moment and consider this passage, we discover a bit of history, Paul's history around the book of Philippians. Historians say that the city of Philippi was a Roman colony in ancient Macedonia, a city full of retired soldiers and well known for its patriotic nationalism. It was in this city that Paul founded the first Jesus community in Eastern Europe. He planted a church, a community of Jesus followers, first of its kind. And as you can imagine, Paul living and teaching and gathering people, there was resistance, of course, as he was preaching that Jesus was the number one. He was the true king of the world. And after Paul traveled on from establishing this work, he wrote a letter back to these people to thank them for their generosity and also to encourage them to continue on with the number one. We should note that with such an uncertain future for himself, as he was writing from a Roman prison cell, and of course for this church that was new and already somewhat persecuted, Paul instructs them still on the most important things that they needed to give their attention to, despite how uncertain it would seem their future was. So again, Paul was saying it this way, work out what Christ is working in you. So let's kind of unpack this a little bit more. You'll notice in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12b, Paul says, continue to work out your salvation. Continue to work out your salvation. I see it in the top line on the left there. The very specific word that Paul chooses to use for work in the top verse there is a word that can be traced 22 times in Greek in the New Testament. And the specific word that he uses, it's seen in his writings, it's seen in the book of James and Peter, and it identifies a work or an active process that brings something to its intended end. That's the continue to work. That word is identifies an active process that brings something to its intended end. And that intended end can be a work towards things that are good or a work towards things that are bad. At first glance, you may conclude in this that Paul is kind of stirring up a bit of a creative to-do list, and he's calling them to a busy year ahead full of rigorous duty as they try to sort out a number one. But that's not the case. The work that is being talked about is figuring out all that Jesus gifted them by way of salvation. So Paul says, work out your salvation. Work with everything you have received when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Work out your salvation. You received so much when you gave your life to Jesus, when you received the gift of salvation. Work with those things that you've received from Jesus. Perhaps Paul is wise here to highlight what is often a Christian trajectory, where there is initial enthusiasm when someone comes to Christ, and sometimes in people's lives, that enthusiasm wavers over time. And Paul says, no, that does not need to be your trajectory. people's love for God can actually grow and can lead us along, and you can actually find life as you not just give your life to the number one, but you remain with that number one day after day and month after month and year after year. For salvation is a gift, and when cherished, it increases in value and importance to those people. Salvation is a gift, and when cherished, increases in value and importance, and it really does highlight the number one that has saved us. My sister and her family live in Ontario, and for many years, we have given her, very predictable, a gift certificate for Center in the Square, which is an arts thing in the city where she lives. So there's never a spoiler alert. I've been doing it for years. Once in a while, the value increases, but it's pretty much the same value. And we just send it off. They get it in a card. And then the way they receive it is they have to, old school, they have to actually go to the box office and they have to say, is there a gift there for me? And then there is. It's from me. And they, old school, I know there's different ways to do it. No school like the old school, but they have to go to the box office and they have to say, is the gift here? And they pick up the gift card and then they open up and they learn the value of it. And then that sets in motion the idea, oh, what is there for me to go and view? And then typically my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, they go to an event. And that's been rolling out for years and years and years. In some ways, we can easily see some similarities in the practice of spirituality. To Paul's point, as we work out our salvation, we realize that our human salvation, the gift of salvation, was purchased with a price. And that price, of course, was Christ's death. And this salvation immediately sets in motion, this gift that we received immediately sets in motion the most important things that we will ever receive and benefit from as a people. And that is the gift of salvation and all that comes along with having a number one and keeping number one within our lives. Every day, Paul is saying, work it out. Every day. What does that mean? Practically, to review and benefit from the gift of our salvation, learning of its value, and discovering all that was set in motion when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, because now you have access to this because it has been gifted to you. That's good work in a new year. Continuing to work out your salvation for coming to Christ and receiving Him as Lord and Savior is a really good place to start. It's not the place to stay. There's a risk here in sounding kind of formulaic, and I hope you don't hear that. Rather, this is a good routine or a discipline that is rooted in a good relationship, the relationship of having a number one. Let's zoom out for a moment. Paul teaches a bit more on this word works, and he does it more deeply in the book of Romans, and let's kind of go there just for a moment. Most specifically, when he compares the idea of work again and its intended purpose, for bad or for good. Romans 8 says this, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Again, Romans 8, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So again, working out our salvation requires an understanding of the difference of the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit. For both laws are at work according to their intended purpose. So let's just take a look at this. The law or the work of sin and death. That is a law that's at work within the world today. And we can point very easily to the evidence of this. The action and activities of sin within our life and world will bring one to an intended result, which is death. And we see the evidence of that law of sin and death at work within this world today. Verses that remind us of this. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Romans 7, for sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. Romans 7, now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. To say again, the intended result of the law of sin is death. The intended work of sin is death. When we display actions and attitudes that are contrary to God's will for our lives, we will pay, as Romans 6 says, the intended wage or the cost of that activity, which is ultimately leads to death, sin and death, death of relationships, and death of all that is morally good and good for us. So all this warning that Paul gives to us is that we would continually examine, again, not just our number one, but what law is at work within our lives? What's the work that's going on within our lives? Because again, the work of sin leads to death, and now we appreciate, in that verse, that there is also the law of the Spirit and its intended results. Romans 8 says, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This verse says that Jesus, by his Spirit, sets us free from sin and death and keeps us free from sin and death, giving us a new number one and an ability to remain with the number one and just the one. Again, fully benefiting from the love of Christ, the life of Christ in our lives. And friends, that is the good gospel, that we would receive salvation and be governed by the law of the Spirit. This is the work of Christian discipleship. And this is the good work that we call each other on to this coming year. Coming to terms with grace and allowing ourselves to be saved, rescued, and delivered more and more from sin and death all day and every day. So again, the emphasis here is not on doing things. The emphasis here is on receiving things from God. And this is our invitation. This is what we are to do to continue to have a number one. Following and benefiting from the law of the Spirit. The more we humble ourselves, the more we ask of God, the more we will receive. That's Christian discipleship, working out what Christ is working in us. So let's keep going in this text. We see in Philippians 2 again, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. When you got up this morning, as a Christian, we would apply this verse. God's at work within your life today. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You got up tired today, right? Maybe. You don't feel anything this morning. You're just walking around. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. That's this verse. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. That's why it's possible for in a room like this to say, hey, have a number one. Because God's never stops working. Have a number one. The word Paul uses for work in this part of the verse is different than the one he used in verse 12. The word he uses here for work in verse 13 emphasizes something different. It emphasizes continuity and continuation. It's Christ that works. With continuity and continuation, different than verse 12 that is tied to consequence or intended results. God is just continually working. There's continuity to it, there's consistency, and there's just this continuation of God working in your life. He's not going away. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I feel it, you're working. He never stops working. God works in us. It's ongoing. He's active. It doesn't end. And there's only one intended result, and that is for our good. It's for our good. Why is this God working in us? What is it all about? And why so important that it be our number one? move to another verse that Paul shared to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians, where he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. If anyone is in Christ, that's the working out part. The new creation has come, that's the working in part. The old is gone, the new is here. God is working in us, He's making us a new creation. This is our salvation. This is that continuity and the continuation of His work. He's making us new. He's saving and He's delivering. And it's not just delivering us away from something. It's delivering us into something and into someone, and that is Him. That's why we can have a number one and we can talk like that. Notice the new things that Christ has gifted us because of salvation. We receive, through salvation, a new nature. So when we're working out our salvation, we're saying, I have a new nature. The old is gone and the new has come. I have a new nature at work within me, and it's in a nature that moves along because of the law of the Spirit, not the law of sin and death. I have a new nature. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We sang about His holiness today. And the reason we can sing about His holiness and know a holy God is because He's saved us and He's put a new nature in us that we can say, you are a holy God of which I am in a relationship with. He gives us a new heart and a new spirit. Ezekiel says, I give you a new heart and I put a new spirit in you. I remove from you your heart of stone and I give you a heart of flesh. He gives us a new mind. Romans 12, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Imagine if we did have a number one this year. The working out of what God is working in us. Imagine if that was how we walk that out. This would keep the new in our new year, 100%. Our text continues in verse 3 with a promise. For it is God who works in you for a reason. And three words pop up: will, acting, and fulfilling. We would be very unwise to think that God does not have an individual plan for our lives this year. He says it here. He has a will. He has a will for you. God's will be done in our lives this coming year as we work out our salvation. We can be confident that God will act in such a way that He will fulfill His good purpose in our lives this coming year. He will do that. That's on His mind. That is so encouraging to think that God is already in our future and He's waiting for us and He's bidding us to come and He's inviting us. Steps of righteous people are ordered by the Lord. Wow, imagine the year ahead of seeing God willing, God acting, and God fulfilling. For a moment, let's return to this text in the context of this passage. We said earlier, Paul wrote this passage from a Roman prison cell. He was awaiting sentencing and or possible execution. Now picture that. You're in a jail cell, and that is your year ahead. I'll be sentenced or I'll be executed. Now picture that. Feel that. In the natural, Paul could have said, my future is so uncertain. I've come this far, I'll just wait it out. Things happening to him were beyond his control. Nothing he could do potentially could change the narrative. He was in prison. But we can't miss this, friends. In the natural, perhaps for Paul, there was no hope in the natural or no preferred future in the natural. Again, Paul could have said, I've nothing more to do. My work is done. He could have concluded that his best days were behind him. But that's not what Paul did. His appeal is so clear. We always need to be ready to take the next steps to become the person God has on his mind for us to become. And every day we can still have a number one, regardless of the uncertainty or the familiarity of our days ahead. Paul used that time of uncertainty to work. He was working. He was working in that Roman prison cell. What was he working on? He was working out what God was working in him. And so he was able to articulate it. And so helpful for the Philippian church, and so helpful for us. Paul was working it out in a Roman prison cell. Again, I picture that and go, what a good and godly example of what it means to work it out. He was working it out. He was working out what God was working in him to a point being able to articulate it and fully benefit from it. He was praying, he was reading, he was considering, writing, committing, and most of all, in that Roman prison cell, he was receiving revelation. Each day, perhaps not doing what we would measure is productive or fruitful, but he was each day becoming the child of God that God intended him to become. See, a great year is not necessarily measured by what we do, but who we are becoming. We are human beings, not human doings. And friends, regardless of how mapped out you feel the year ahead is or how uncertain you may feel, may all of us unite around working out what God is working in us. And this will absolutely lead us to the best year that God has for us. Our text uses words, as you can see on the screen there on the left, that we will become something. And that's really what God has in his mind for you this coming year, is that you become something. You become a child of God. And there's some characteristics mentioned there, you can see, of blameless and pure and without fault and shining like stars in a dark world. So as followers of Jesus, may this come to pass for each one of us this coming year. May we work out what God is working in us. And by doing so, it will be so clear to ourselves and clear to God and clear to our closest friends and clear to our life group and clear to our friends and neighbors that we really do have a number one. We have God, and we're pursuing him with our whole hearts. We're seeking him first, and we're working out our salvation. We're working out what God is working in us. I invite you to stand as we close. We have a moment. Lav, I'm going to invite you to encourage you to close your eyes for a moment and give all of us perhaps a moment here to offer a New Year prayer to the Lord. Would we this year have a number one? Will we have a number one this year? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the access we had today, even around a communion table, to be identified as followers of yours, Christian people, children of God, receiving all the good benefits of salvation. May the gift of our salvation increase in value this year. You've not just called us away from things, but you've called us towards things. And may this year we work out what you're working in us. Bring a revelation. Bring a curiosity. Stir up our imagination that we would say in prayer, and in our journal, and our song, God, You're number one. Pray today. If there would be anyone here today that would be having a hard time with that, we pray for a grace. We pray for your beautiful work of your Spirit to nurture our trust, to nurture our confidence in you, that we would all come to that place of being able to say wholeheartedly, you are our number one, and know the grace to be able to say it, and to know the grace to be able to say it and live it. Lord, dismiss us today. Thank you that you never stop working in our lives and within those that are around us. You never stop working in this world. And we want to be caught up in that narrative. Be our number one, Lord, for your honor, for your glory, and for our benefit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. Thanks, friends. Have a good rest of your day. Happy New Year.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.